fair.
Do you have an update on the guys that didn't skate today for us?
All minor training camp things that we'd be so cautious with those if they kept them out of the game. That's never. Rob Millett is in charge of that in terms of he tells the guys when they're skating and when they're not.
This being the last kind of quote week of training camp, what do you want to accomplish? What do you want to see here over maybe the first few days of it before you really get down to preparing for next weekend with your group?
So it's just a transfer now. So we had a block of things that we wanted to work on. We feel that we're seeing it enough in the ice that they understand it. So we'll carry some of those, and then now we'll go to more speed. So there was a lot of heaviness today. We really focused on our passing, something as simple as that, even with NHL players. And when they focus on it, man, they can heat that thing up and pass it hard, and they can move fast, right? If it's on the tape and it's hard, you can skate faster. So we kind of get to a bit more of a speed thing, more of what your hockey team does with the puck instead of what we're doing to the other team when they have it. So that's where how we'll transfer. It takes some of the grind out of it for them. There's not as many heavy, even strength drills.
Paul, with three games left on the schedule, how do you plan on maybe deploying your group here? Would it be a younger, more inexperienced group tomorrow night?
Yeah, it'll be young in terms of experience. Got some questions. I'm going to have to move a few more pieces around depending on how guys maybe even come in tomorrow. I'm not going to put a guy that's banged up in the lineup, but it'll be the last young group.
So that group won this morning, that might be the makeup of a lot of tomorrow's roster?
Yeah, well, there'll be a lot of those guys will be playing tomorrow.
And then with the two games Thursday and Sunday, I mean, would you like to get as close to your final group as possible
for both those games? We'll probably carry into both those games five lines and 8D. All of those players would have to be healthy. And that's what we'll pull from. So we'll have 2D in and out, and we'll have either three forwards or a line in and out, though it'll only play one of the two. But we'll get down to that number sometime soon. I got to get permission first before I tell you that I'm going to cut everybody. You should ask.
You told us it'd be Wednesday, though.
Yeah, well,
around Wednesday.
Thought you, okay, why don't we just keep that to ourselves, and then I'll announce that Wednesday.
Would tomorrow be a last chance corral for some guys then, or is that decision maybe made up at this point?
No, I mean, like, we're not going to shoot anybody that doesn't make the team. It's just like their last chance, right?
Well, gosh,
last chance corral. Well, I've said last chance before, but not like, you didn't make the team. It's over, my friend. All of these guys will get another chance, but we'll get down to. Probably carry three goalies, so 26 healthy. And those guys will continue to do. There's players, all of these guys that don't make the team and this kind of next wave of cuts, their whole purpose for training camp was to improve their standing. So we take a look at a player like Luke Green. Yeah, absolutely did. You know, he got into an exhibition game, followed it up with a never one, really, really liked his practice. He didn't skate much last year, so he came in and got his job done. Improve your standing, and it's always, you know what, it's always everybody comes to training camp with that hope, right? And as a coach, you've got your list, and you got a pretty good idea. Even a guy may play for you, but he's starting in the minors, right? Even in the summer, you kind of know how that's going to fall. So I'm going to promise every one of them one more last chance.
Paul, what did you sorry, Ken, go back. Goaltending plan, you touching your goalies.
Well, Helly's going Edmonton at home, and then I might even play around with them both playing in the mini, you know, because LB's been really, really good. I don't know that he needs to sit out for a week, and that's kind of the rhythm, you know. If Helly comes out, he goes in. So we'll play with that, and I'm open to Burden getting into the game tomorrow, but I just want to see how, again, we're going to take a real young group. So I'll take a look at how that game's going before I may probably make that decision in between periods or on the bench.
So call me then tomorrow.
He starts, yeah.
Paul, what have you learned about Anthony Boteto in the time that he's been here? He had the reputation of a really good guy in the room and obviously a bit of a journeyman, but what have you seen from him?
He's it's not easy. It's like when you get moved to a new school, right, making new friends. It's not easy for everybody. He doesn't have that problem. So he's already chirping some of the forwards, and he's quite a great personality, and that was a real good pickup for us. Practice is hard, plays hard, just a really, really good pro. How far he gets up in the lineup, you know, we won't limit that. We'll let him come in and let his play dictate where he plays. But as far as being a Winnipeg Jet that we enjoy having some personality in the room, he's been great.
Get 5 shots on goal last night. Is there more offensive upside there than maybe he's been able to show in the past?
That might be a way of phrasing it, been able to just, I mean, that's a really heavy defense they had in Nashville. That's a tough one to crack. So, and he stayed there and was valuable there because we could come in and give them good games and again, real great pro. So we'll see. You know, we won't put any limits on him.
What would an 18-year-old defenseman have to do for you to stop looking at him as an 18-year-old defenseman?
It's just like a really good question that I don't want to answer.
Okay.
So there's like, when does the Winnipeg Jets kind of take priority over the person and the player at 18 years old? You'd say, hey, this is all about the Jets, but and can he play in the NHL? I mean, I've seen him play a few exhibition games. Can he play in the NHL this year? You know, probably at times from what we've seen. Does it make the most sense to have that happen? I feel a gush coming. How about I don't add, like, this guy's a player, but we've got to be careful because of his skill set and the way he's built of getting too excited, too ahead of us. There's stages to this that we want to be comfortable with. I mean, in a perfect world, fellas, I guess, yes, every first-round pick would come in and blow the doors off you and say, let's put him in. But in a perfect world, every one of those guys would have a camp like Ville's had and then go play for the Moose, right? Learn the pro game, get stronger so that when you come up here, you don't suffer the confidence losses that are inevitable for young players. Even if they're great ones, they go stretches, either they're not scoring or they're getting run or they're plus-minuses. I guess the best way to answer that would have been to shut my mouth and just say, you know what, he's had a really good camp.
Is going to the Moose an option for him at this stage, or was it ever? Could it ever be?
Like from a technical point of view, like is it allowed?
Yeah.
He has a contract with him. Yes.
I'm going to leave all of that. The word contract is dangerous in the coach's room right now, so I'm leaving anything that says contract to Chevy. He's in full contract mode, so you can ask him.
Okay. You get that.
Paul, what is it about Mikhail Verdon's development that you've liked?
The reports from the other coaches. So I wouldn't have seen him play a whole heck of a lot. I've seen him in camp. And both our goalie guys have lots of faith that he's going to continue to grow and develop. He's kind of in an orthodox style. I'm careful with goalies in that I don't fully appreciate all the things that they do that make them different. And it's just, does he stop the puck for me? But he's worked at it. And part of that is, and you've all seen it, anybody who's spent, he absolutely loves the rink, right? He's huge smile on his face, loves to practice, loves to work. So those guys usually maximize their potential. They usually get to be as good as they can be because they spend the time and they love being at the rink. So that's a big part of it, too. We have full faith that he's gonna become his best professional self, and we're going to be real patient to give him the time to do that.
Do you spend any time trying to manage goalie quirks? I mean, he says he...
I yell at flats?
When he says he'll drink a Coke before the game, or he'll, he won't kind of turn it on until 5 minutes before he hits the ice. I mean, that seems odd, but a lot of goalies...
So we would say what's the truth? I stay away from him. I talk about how they are, their emotions and their mindset to them quite often, how you feel and where do you think you're at. All of those guys, if it works. Like, of all the stories in hockey, the weird things goalies have done are maybe some of the most interesting and maybe least professional, It's popcorn, hot dogs on the bench, pizza. As long as it revolves around food, seemingly. If they're stopping the puck, they get to have the moldy sandals, right? And then if we feel that they're not stopping the puck, we'd say, hey, maybe that... The 2-liter gallon of Coke before you go, maybe that's not working for you. We could change that. So we'll intervene on any of that quirkiness, as you said, probably based on performance.
How has your relationship with Flats evolved over the years, Paul, and the trust level and all that?
He gets my sense of humor a lot better. I think he took some of those things very personally early. Well, we went through some characters in our net, you know, and some challenging people to coach. And that doesn't mean that they're necessarily bad people, but there are goalies that were very stubborn in the way they perceived the game. And I just really like the way he's handled them. Flats is an everyday coach. He's in there in the right way, available to those guys. He works at it for them. And to give you an idea, when we're watching other hockey games, in the coach's room and another team scores, he hears about it like it's his fault. So he's responsible for all the goalies in the NAT. Every bad goal in the NHL he has to answer for.
When you bring in new guys like a Letesti or a Betetto, what are some of the signals you look for as you get to know them as players and people?
Well, the first thing is, on all of those guys, there'd be a lot of groundwork done, right? The advantage of getting like the Borks of the world on your team is they're not in their second or third year. So somebody somewhere has played with them, has coached them. So, you know, I would know Anthony Bedetto's coach very well, his assistant coach that worked with him over and over again. Todd Woodcroft would know a number of the players in Colorado, having worked with them at the World Championship. So he would get that kind of information. And we would have lots of information about Mark coming through Edmonton with Matt Hendricks. And all those connections matter to us in these roles. And we worked hard at that this year, that we wanted to bring these kind of guys in that could fit in. Then all I'm trying to do, the first kind of week, you know them as a player, you see it on video, you watch them to see how quickly they pick up what you're teaching. They're going to get it at some point. These guys are pros, but try to give them enough video and enough to help them get right up to speed. Those players, those three players, rely on their systems and rely on their understanding of the game to be good players.
For Mark specifically, obviously, you know his style of game, but after spending the majority of last year in the American League, what are some of the challenges for him to get back up to maybe NHL speed?
It's hand speed as much as anything else, right? Because he's as fast as he was before. His asset is that he watches it once and understands it. I mean, he truly throw through a neutral zone video and wouldn't have made a mistake again. Or if he's off, he's coming to the bench telling you, yeah, I know I was off by 3 feet on that one. He's got that dialed in. I think it's hand speed, right? Just touching enough pucks. And, you know, from watching our camp here, we've really focused on a lot of that, just the hand skills that go with it. So he's up to speed now, I feel.
And sorry, Paul, just to piggyback on that as an extra part, but you like your pairs, right? Guys like Lowry, Kopp, Wheeler, Scheifele. Do you see some chemistry with Letestu and Bork?
For sure, because they are both of the same ilk, right? They both rely on systems. They're on the bench talking to each other nonstop. I like pairs only when you find two guys that work well together, right? So those two guys look like they do. I don't know that they're going to play together. We're going to move all these guys around over the course of the season, but they're both going to play.